previously on Three of Hearts. After letting Tatiana escape, Agents Vellum and Felspar checked into the Bee by the Sea. There, they ran into Spar's usual field partner, Ishbala. Along with Anya, the agents pieced together the mystery of Vellum's blood thieves, concluding that he may be immune to biomancy, and someone wants to study his blood in order to reverse the effects of magical alterations. Spar teaches Vellum to shoot a gun in order to clear Vellum's head, and the two agents kiss once again.
We open on a brick office building. It is nearly midnight in Cindershore, and the final employee working way past the normal time of retirement is scribbling furiously at something at his cubicle. Just beyond him is an office that says administration. He does not seem to be looking at it, and thus does not immediately notice the figure skulking towards the administration office, where said figure has been informed that there is some juicy tax fraud documents waiting for their retrieval and exposure. Kit, what does the queer creeper look like?
The queer creeper is a middle-aged elf with brown eyes, long brown hair pulled back and a ponytail. They use he, they pronouns. He's wearing a completely black suit, black gloves, black boots, and one of those like sort of half masks that just covers his eyes. Like you really wouldn't
the Robin.
Yeah, you really wouldn't have to think too hard probably to figure out who it was. But he believes that this is very important to the outfit.
Mm-hmm. So let's just start with a flip. Can you flip agility sneaking for me?
All right.
To see how well you make it through.
Yeah.
The office.
All right. We're sneaking. My agility is 4. Sneaking is 4. I am healthy. So I believe that is 9 flips.
Yes, it is.
All right. This is what we do. We sneak. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I have 2 jacks, so 2 successes.
Nice. That is good. And please, we creep.
So much creeping.
Mm-hmm. So you are able to... Well, no, I have to counterflip. Sorry for this office worker. Okay. Oh, that's fun. So this office, this last employee, it's actually a pixie who has like a little... It's like a full-sized cubicle, but on the desk is like a smaller desk, and that's where the pixie sits. He got 1 success and 1 joker to try to detect the queer creeper. So I think for that, he definitely has heard the sound of you entering this room and what that means. We may find out later. So the queer creeper has made his way into the admin office. Well, it's more like an admin hallway in which there's various offices.
Okay.
And there is an individual called Director Marigold, whose office you were told the documents would be in, as you were also told the office is unlocked.
Oh, that's fabulous. All right. So I'm going to be creeping on the ceiling just for a little something different. Ooh. We're going to creep down the ceiling towards Director Marigold's office. Drop down.
I wish this was a video podcast so you could see Kit's creeping.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've got my creeping on the ceiling motion here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. So we're creeping down, flipping down, very carefully opening the door into the office, taking a look around. See anything?
Flip me a wit investigation.
All right. My wit is 2. Investigation is 0, but I'm healthy, so that's 3 flips.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3. 2 queens, but not of hearts. So 2 successes.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, 2 successes is more than enough to notice that right in, like, in front of the door, there is a tripwire, essentially.
Oh, okay.
But with you have not triggered it yet, and with 2 successes, you are easily able to step over that thing. And from there, the intel you got said that there would be a filing cabinet. The 3rd cabinet down, there would be a file for an individual named Westfield. And in that file, you would find the information you're looking for.
Excellent. So I will step through. I will pull down to the filing cabinet, pull it out, and see if I can find the Westfield file. Is it in there?
And you can. Mm-hmm.
All right.
But upon look, it's a very light file.
Hmm.
You don't even see the evidence of pages in the file at all. As far as you can tell, it is just a manila envelope or folder, essentially. And when you open it, there is a calling card for someone called Sir Timby.
Not Sir Timby.
Can you flip me intelligence streetwise to see if how much you know about Sir Timby?
The Sir Timby?
Intelligence is 2, streetwise is 0. You'll understand with Creeper. Creeper's got some advantages, but Creeper does not always have as much background information as he would like. So that's 2 for intelligence, 0 for streetwise, but 1 for healthy. So 3 flips. Got a king.
Okay, with 1 success. Sir Timby's not into white collar crime, so not really in your purview of not a lot of tax and accounting based indiscretions. But you do know that Sir Timby is a jewel thief who has been hitting Cinder Shore as well as some other nearby towns for the last couple of months. You see his calling card, which is just like Sir Timby and like a futuristic, like slanted kind of font. And then there's like a knight's helm. I'm going to say a knight's helm and 2 cross swords. It's the Sir Timby sigil. And on the back of the... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, of course, Queer Creeper's first thought is this person in need of accounting services?
And that may be true, but on the back of the card, there is a message written in small handwriting, which says, "Dearest Creeper, I, Sir Timby, have been informed of your considerable heroic and stealthy exploits, and there are some who say that your ability to sneak undetected and combat people with your wiles rivals even my own. So I would like to propose the greatest challenge between local, oddly named, some would say heroes. I am going to steal the greatest diamond of them all, world-renowned pop star Diamond, who is playing at the Passion Fruit Festival here in Cinder Shore in a little over 24 hours.
Oh no, not Diamond. He must be stopped. Clearly, such a challenge. He has recognized my skill. It is time. It may be time for me to set foot outside the bounds of the accounting office. Mm-hmm. And see if I can make a difference and save Diamond. Yes, this is absolutely ludicrous. I'll pocket the calling card.
Mm-hmm.
I better just take that whole file, as a matter of fact. Put all the file cabinets... Well, okay, I want to take a quick skim through the filing cabinets in case I see anything that doesn't look like it adds up. Just while I'm there, you can't...
Yeah,
you can't
I love
really
it.
Resist.
So... Give me an intelligence investigation or wit investigation.
Yeah, they're the same. So we'll do intelligence investigation, 2 for intelligence, no investigation, 1 for healthy. So that's 3 flips. 1, 2, 3. Nope, no successes.
Yeah, you don't immediately notice anything above board, and you don't really have the time to dig in because you hear the rapid chiming of a bell as this office's fire alarm sounds.
All right. I hate it when that happens. All right. I'm going to pop up to the ceiling, crawl back over, crawl out the door, and now I say that. Let me look around. And we got any windows in this office that I'm in?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just going to go out the nearest window. Let's just...
Yeah, that sounds good.
No muss, no fuss. Let's just get out.
So as you leave through the window, you can see through a nearby window in the, you know, the room full of cubicles that you sneak through initially. It appears that some kind of fire has started as the startled pixie knocked over the candle he was working beside and started a little paper fire in the office.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, I will make sure to send an anonymous tip to the fire department on my way back home.
Excellent. Excellent. Perfect. Hey, everyone. Thank you for joining us on yet another Three of Hearts. I am Jordan Quiverns. I'm the host, DM, GM, wingman, whatever I call myself. My pronouns are they, them. And today we have a special guest playing a special character, Kit, who is playing the Queer Creeper.
Hi, I am Kit Stubbs. My pronouns are they, them. And yes, I am here excitedly playing the Queer Creeper, whose pronouns are he and they.
Do you have a fun fact for us about the Queer Creeper?
I do, actually. The Queer Creeper has an artifact called the Key of Many Closets, which can teleport him and whatever he's wearing or carrying into a closet, wardrobe, storage chest, you get the idea, inside a target building or near a target location. And in fact, his experience with many, many such spaces over the years has turned him into kind of a one-man advocate for minimalism, arguing that any object in one's closet should spark gaiety or else be discarded. His motto, if it's not gay, it's got to go.
Incredible.
Kit, do you have anything you'd like to plug, or would you like to tell folks where to find you online?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter as Kit_Stubbs, STUBBS_PhD.
Alrighty, and I'll be linked in the description along with our social medias and such.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Yes, thank you for joining. It's off to a wonderful start. We also have regular players on the podcast who are not special guests, such as Essay.
Just regular guests, yes. Hi, this is Essay. I use she, her pronouns. I play Agent Felspar, who uses he, him pronouns. Let's see. And his fun fact is, despite what Sorrel says, he's perfectly fine at buying his own clothes. He just...
Is every Spar fact going to be start with despite what Sorrel says?
Yes.
No. Okay.
Aww.
But he's perfectly willing to let Vellum do it.
Aww.
Yes. Excellent. Where can people find you, Essay?
They cannot. I cannot be found. I am on Twitter at SAHex. Essay like the thing that's due on Monday and hex like a spell. No underscore. Underscores are terrible. Sorry, Kit.
It's okay. They're not for everyone. That's fine.
And I am Ela. I play Agent Vellum. He and I both use they and he pronouns. Special fact about Agent Vellum, he has been kidnapped a minimum of at least 7 times. Mm-hmm. Depends exactly on your definition of kidnapping, whether or not that includes times that he was kidnapped without a ransom asked for, or whether those count extra, or...
If the times that he didn't notice he was being kidnapped count.
Right. Or the times that he just kind of wandered away and someone picked him up. And yeah.
Or he was kidnapped and then they forgot. They were just like, eh. And they kind of forgot about him. And so he just like left when nobody was looking.
The times when he was kidnapped and he started rambling about one of his favorite subjects and they just got so irritated and let him go.
The time he was about to walk into an open net while he was reading a book, but he actually fell into a manhole instead, which evaded the trap.
Yeah, so it's happened a few times, just a few.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find me online at Ela Alexi on Twitter, Instagram, most other social medias.
My fun fact for this episode is that the pixie who started the fire, the reason he was so jumpy is that he was actually committing embezzlement from the company while all of that was going on. And so the queer creeper did inadvertently stop a white collar crime because he did burn the documents, which he was forging.
Yes.
So, yeah, good job, queer creeper. Another another corporation saved. Really the hero we need.
Hey now. It's mostly about getting tax revenue back.
You're right.
So that we are supporting our community.
Yes, correct. Okay. A real bureaucratic Robin Hood, that queer creeper.
Yes. The hero of bean counters everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Steal from the rich and give to the poor, but their correct paperwork must be signed in the process. So it is the day after the last session for Agents Phelim and Felspar. What were the sleeping arrangements like that evening?
That's a good question. Did they get a room at the same place that Ishbala had a room at?
Does the Bee by the Sea have an open room for us?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Phelim and Spar go up and ask for a room. Does the person at the counter assume that they want a one-bedroom or a two-bedroom?
I think they're going to ask. You guys could... you were asked whether you want a one or two bedroom.
I think Phelim is gonna wave for Spar to make the decision.
Spar is gonna gesture at Phelim, like whatever you want, whatever you're comfortable with. That's
just the one's fine.
A purely economic decision, I'm sure.
Yep.
All right, you guys go to bed. This is an important question. Is it chaste bedtimes?
Unless Phelim starts something, I think so. I think Spar is doing the like blushy awkward like. You know, sometimes you kiss somebody. It happens. It doesn't have to. I mean, we can just work partners.
Yeah, you know, stress relief and all of that that Spar said before about. The field agent handbook that he still doesn't have a copy of yet.
Yeah, section 17 says that you kissing your partner is perfectly normal and it happens as a part of it's a common stress reaction.
I think there's some cuddling, but I don't think that Phelim necessarily initiates more than that because I think he is still unsure where they stand and
sure.
Like, he definitely has a crush on Spar, but he doesn't know, you know, if Spar wants more or if it was just another instance of stress kissing your partner.
The real question is, have any of the kisses actually been stress kisses or is that just what you're telling each other?
Second one.
Because the answer is yes, it's that.
Yeah, no, it's the second one.
Phelim's definitely wasn't.
Yeah.
I was gonna say the manuals you all get in suits are way more interesting than the manuals we get in the Department of Treasury. Dang.
I think it might be canon that there is a stress kissing section.
Has Ishbala and Spar kissed as a stress reliever situation?
Absolutely, yes.
Good to know.
I guess Anya takes the other bed in Ishbala's room for the evening then, because it was established that there were two beds in there. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know that Phelim necessarily thought about that. They went out, you know, to the gun range. They did that. Mm-hmm. And then they came back.
And presumably they ate dinner at some point.
Yeah.
Perhaps in a little cafe.
A bee-themed cafe.
A bistro, perhaps.
Oh, my God.
A bistro.
Yeah, they're staying in a bee-themed motel.
Love it.
The Bee by the Sea. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Adorable.
All right. So it's the next morning. Y'all wake up. Is one of you being cuddle strangled again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of you being Vellum.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, Spar's doing his octopus routine.
Excellent. What time is it? Can Vellum judge based on the amount of light coming into the room?
Yeah, flip intelligence. I guess investigation for daytime detection.
Or does Vellum wear a watch?
I could see him wearing a watch. I don't know if he sleeps with it on, though.
Mm. Could be on the bedside table.
Mm. But can he reach it with a spar wrapped around him?
That's the real question.
How big is the bed?
Also a good question. All right. 4 for intelligence, 2 for investigation, 1 for healthy. We got 1 queen.
Okay. Yeah. You can tell it is probably about 7 o'clock in the morning.
Did we make plans with any of the other characters to meet up in the morning at a certain time?
I don't think so. So the party you guys are going to, well, might be going to, to investigate Diamond. Diamond's party is tomorrow. Spar and Vellum are supposed to take Anya with them if they go to question Diamond at their hotel. That is really the only plan that we have. Ishbala is pretty much just vibing. Should probably go back to work at some point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think Vellum will attempt to untangle himself and see if the same thing happens that normally happens.
No, I think Spar lets him go this morning.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Vellum, I think, is surprised by that. Maybe he was about to turn around and give him a little peck on the forehead. But Spar lets go anyway. So he's kind of in that awkward, like, what should he do next? He clears his throat and is trying to figure out if Spar is awake or not. So he'll say, Agent Spar?
He puts his arm around Vellum's waist again and is like, that's me. And he's like mumbling into approximately Vellum's shoulder blade.
Vellum blushes entirely. Not that Spar can see at the moment, but that was incredibly cute. And he just kind of looks down at Spar and like runs his fingers through his hair a little bit. And is like, do you want to get breakfast?
Okay, breakfast is a good, important part of the agenda. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm.
Yes, indeed.
He's making no move to get up.
Vellum is very conflicted because he definitely enjoys being cuddled, but he, again, doesn't know whether or not he should be enjoying this feeling or not. Mm. He leans down and kisses Spar's cheek and starts to pull on his hands and say, okay, let's go get some coffee or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Spar will start to let go. Just kind of sinks back into the bed a little bit.
Agent Felspar.
He cracks one eye open. He's like, yes.
Are you getting up or are you going back to sleep?
Yes.
The answer to both of those questions cannot be yes at the same time. It is a contradiction.
I'm up.
You are literally still laying down. You are not up.
I'm up. He starts sitting up. I don't want to talk about formal logic before coffee.
Vellum chuckles and will reach out and tussle his hair again and just like, you're very cute like this. And turns around and starts putting his suspenders on.
Spar politely averts his eyes. Can't watch suspenders. It's an intimate moment.
Too lewd.
Mm-hmm. So assuming we get dressed without falling all over our gay selves, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you guys are able to get some coffee and some breakfast. Go ahead and take a coffee card. So add 1 flip to a roll, a flip of your choice.
Does Excellent. That stack with yesterday's?
No. Okay. Sorry.
Oh, no. We don't have the taiyaki flip anymore.
I think it was a coffee flip.
It was taiyaki.
It was taiyaki.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't see it lasting overnight. I apologize.
Sadness. At some point, Vellum does want to check out the lab, but...
Yeah.
That can be another day. I don't want to get too bogged down on the little things at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, that could be really, one, really quick, and two, could be very cool. But so we could possibly do that today, but we can't get the other things first. So I do want to remind you both, okay. You guys both had potentially very, like, important phone calls you wanted to make. Spar wants to check in with Suits to see what the heck is up with Jack. Mm-hmm. And Vellum wants to call, possibly, I thought, wanted to call Gray. I don't know if that's actually true or not.
Mm. Yes.
Okay.
So how does long distance radioing work? Is there like a place we have to go? Does a hotel have?
I feel like I established like post offices have the ability to make like long range telephone calls.
Mm-hmm. To the post office we go.
Okay.
All right.
So, meanwhile, Kit, what is the queer creeper doing with the information they received last night / this morning?
All right. So clearly he's got to at least attempt to warn Diamond that there is potential mm-hmm. danger. He does recognize that it's a bit of a, it may be a bit of a stretch, but he's got the calling card. So mm-hmm. he will head to, I assume it's pretty, there probably are not too many of the swankiest hotel in town, which is where he is assuming.
Yeah, that's totally a fine assumption.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the Cliffside Lodge, Cliffside Inn, whatever I've called it in the past, it's that. And it is... So Cindershore is sort of built like uphill, and so it is literally on a cliff overlooking the sea. That is where you assume Diamond would be.
All right.
So you head there?
Yep.
Now I have a question. Do you head there in vigilante garb or in civilian garb?
Oh man, that's a tough one. If it's during the day, oh man. If it's during the day, probably he will take his briefcase. So he will take his briefcase containing the queer creeper's outfit, but probably he'll just wear his normal office sort of business attire and head over.
What's your plan here? What is the queer creeper doing?
So while I could, in theory, just appear out of their closet, I have found in practice people don't always respond very favorably to that. It's really better suited mm-hmm. to sort of dark office buildings at night when you don't really expect people to be around.
Right.
So probably I will head in to the front desk and I will go up to, you know, we'll try the straightforward approach first and get more creative if we have to. So we'll go up to the hotel concierge and indicate that I have an urgent message for actually Diamond's manager. Would it be possible for me to speak with them as soon as possible?
Okay, go ahead and flip charm persuasion or presence persuasion.
Okay, so presence is 3, persuasion is 2. I am healthy and I have along with me my red tape, which can be used to help persuade a little bit more. Just, you know, you'd hate for anybody to start looking into your accounting records now, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So that's 7 flips. So let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No successes. None.
Yeah. I was a little worried about how many successes you were getting up top.
Yup.
So it's a human altered who has like bovine features and at the desk, and they say, yeah, you're like the 3rd person today asking to speak to Diamond's manager with some kind of important message. If you really want, I can relay the message to Diamond. And they can decide whether they want to speak with you. If it's actually a matter of importance, I will say so far, we're 0 for 2, but maybe you can turn things around.
So I will show the concierge the card and I say, look, I've received a threat coming from Sir Timby in particular.
Let me see if the concierge knows who Sir Timby is or gives a shit.
There.
2 successes. Okay, they're like, why would a jewel thief want... Oh, that's clever. Okay.
Diamond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a real escalation in, like, the severity of the crime. Wow. All right. Yeah, let me... I mean, shouldn't we just go to, like, the constables and... Instead of just warning Diamond, shouldn't we get, like, law enforcement involved?
Well, we'll see what we can do, but I think we need to make sure Diamond is aware first. Like, they can be on the lookout for anybody suspicious coming around. You know, it's better to give warning in advance to the party involved, I believe.
I did my usual thing where when I can't decide what to do, I flip one card and see what the card tells me. And I got a Joker, and I don't know what the fuck that means in this situation. Okay, that's fun. Well, here's what they're going to say. Go ahead and have a seat. And they gesture to, like, the waiting area. And they're like, I'm going to give Diamond's room a call and see what I can do for you.
Thank you. And Quirk Reaper is happy to sit down on a chair.
Okay. 10 minutes pass. And you've not yet heard anything. And around that time, you hear the siren of the constables who appear to be emerging on the location of the hotel.
Oh, again? All right. So Queer Creeper observes this, gets up, and starts making for the nearest exit.
Okay. Give me intelligence sneaking or wit sneaking. I think I have the same for you. Same. To try to, like, ascertain the best route out of this place.
All right. So, intelligence is 2, sneaking is 4, and I am healthy, so that is 7 altogether. So, let's see, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 2 successes and a joker.
You love to see it, you really do. Okay, so you're able to, like, kind of duck behind there a column, and you see an officer come in and speak with the concierge, and they try to, like, look for you and see that you're no longer in the lobby. And yeah, you're able to you do spy an exit. Is it logical to say that the Queer Creeper has, like, mapped out many buildings in this town, like, to know the best ins and out?
He's been working around this town for a while.
Yeah, so you just know, like, not exactly an escape, but, like, how to navigate certain back channels. You actually know that there's a room with, on the first floor. It's, like, in the kitchen, and there's, like, an old, like, secret passage that leads from the kitchen to this, like, ballroom. And then from the ballroom, there is an emergency exit. Unfortunately, going through the emergency exit is going to trigger an alarm. So I'm going to give you that choice because you still got 2 successes. You have an easy way out of the building, but they are going to know that you're there when you do it.
Mm. Well, I'd still really like to get closer to Diamond if I could.
So I will say, with 2 successes, you also have a bit of a lead on them. So if you want to use this opportunity to try to find Diamond, that is okay too.
Yeah. I mean, probably I would be looking around to see... Like, the hotel's going to have a guest register, or it's going to have guest records.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be basically attempting to kind of sneak around to the counter, maybe use a little of my telekinesis to try and grab one of the pages off the register. That would probably be the first thing that I would try to do.
Okay, so that's fun. So here's the scene I'm going to paint then. You actually are slightly spotted by the constables, but you have enough knowledge of this place to, like, lead them on a goose chase and then make your way back to the lobby so you can get behind that front desk. So now go ahead.
Some real Scooby-Doo shit.
Yeah. Go ahead and flip presence telekinesis in order to will the guest registry into your hands.
All right, so I happen to be wearing my trusty Ring of Thunk for a slight telekinesis boost. So I've got 3 presents, 2 telekinesis, 1 for the ring, and 1 for healthy. So that's 7 flips. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have a Queen of Hearts. My crit value is, so that is worth 2 successes, plus there's another king, so I have 3 successes.
Okay, beautiful. That is sufficient to telekinesis a clipboard. So, yeah, you are able to get the registry into your hands. Sure enough, you're able to determine what room Diamond is in. This lodge is 3 floors, and it is on the 3rd floor. You see, it's actually a reserved suite. Diamond always has access to this room. You are now spotted by the constables. So what do you do from here?
All right. Well, now I've got to sneak my way back, back out into the kitchen room, or, you know, I'm going to try to give them the slip and make my way up to the 3rd floor.
Okay. So this is going to be an agility sneaking, which is kind of your specialty.
Yes. It's like no punch, only run.
Mm-hmm.
So agility is 4, athletics is 4, and I'm healthy, so that's 9.
9.
Yeah, boy, going through this deck real fast. 1, 2, 3.
That's what happens 4, during action scenes.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I have a Jack of Hearts, an Ace of Hearts, and a 3 of Hearts.
Wow, that's the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's 4 successes total.
Yep. Oh, and an Ace of Diamonds, right?
Wow.
That also counts.
That's 5 successes.
Okay.
For 5 successes, like, I mean, by the time this chase is done, they think that they have scared you off.
Love it.
You are so quick and so ghost-like in your movements that, I mean, they just, yeah, they can't find heads or tails of you. They're like, there's no way. Like, they think about the 3rd floor. They cursory check. They don't see it. Like, okay, there's no logical way they could have gotten so far ahead of us, so they must not be here anymore. Which, of course, you are here. They didn't look on the ceiling.
They never do. They never do.
You are in the hallway alone, where at the end of it is the sort of penthouse Diamond's room.
All right. Well, I still don't really want to go for surprise out of the closet. That just never goes well. It's so tempting because it's so much fun, but surprise does not often lead well. So I guess at this point, I will take the opportunity to duck into the nearest housekeeping closet and change into the full Queer Creeper garb, because at this point, it is sad to say, but unfortunately, nobody really wants to pay attention to just a dude in a business suit. Sometimes, sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need that. So, all right. Changed.
Sometimes men in business suits have important information about your safety vis-a-vis kidnappers.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So I'm now dressed for success, and we'll head over, and I will actually attempt to knock on the door. I'm really not trying to scare Diamond and their entourage.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure,
we'll try straightforward first. So we'll knock on the door and see if anybody's there to answer.
Okay. And we'll find out in a minute. So, other crew, we are at the post office. I'd say morning is kind of one of the busier times for the post office, but not so busy that you're unable to get access to a radio. So I will even say probably for someone of your guys's like status as suits agents, they can hook you up with like secure rooms in which to have these conversations. There's like the equivalent of like payphones along the wall where you can make calls, but then there's also like private rooms. So
good.
Yep. So are you guys making your calls together or separately?
Separately, I think. If they have 2 rooms at the same time, and if not sequentially.
Okay, we'll go separately. I like the alphabet, so let's do SA's scene first. So you are in this room. For some reason, the room I'm picturing looks like a small interrogation room.
I was also picturing that, but it's a post office. So.
Yeah, which is wild, right? Not necessarily like the chrome sort of metal-y look of it, but like pretty bare room. Not a lot going on visually. There's a table. The table's got a radio on it.
So calling suits, is there a direct line to Jack or Jack's office?
Yeah, I would say so.
Gonna try that first.
Okay. Gregan's answers. Hi. I haven't done this voice since episode one. I don't remember what this book Gregan sounds like, but it's probably something similar to this. I only have one, like, nerdy guy voice. Okay.
It sounds like a Gregan's voice. Yeah, I will tell you that much.
You've reached Suits, the office of Jack Spade. This is Gregan speaking. How may I help you?
Hi, this is Agent Felspar checking in from Cindershore.
Oh, hey. You're like 2 days ahead of schedule. That's great. Is everything wrapped up in Clovenheart?
Not yet. We're just here to follow up on some leads.
Oh, okay. Is everything okay out there?
Yes.
Everything's fine.
We're good. How are you? Yeah. Everything out here is fine.
Okay. How can I help you? Do you need a debrief? Do you need to any other resources? Are you just here to say, hey, did you remember my birthday was 2 days ago?
Oh.
Gregans, how many birthdays a year do you have? Isn't it your birthday in another 3 weeks?
You got me. You got me.
Is Gregan's birthday once a month?
Yeah, he celebrates monthly birthdays.
That's fair.
Aw, that's adorable.
I think that our investigation might be crossing paths with something that Jack was looking into. Do you know how to reach him?
I mean, yeah. But what specifically?
It's classified.
From me?
I'm afraid so.
Flip presence and lying for that one.
It's only kind of lying. Jack's note specifically says I didn't even tell Gregans.
Mm.
Oh, that's true. Okay, I would accept presence persuasion then.
Okay. Presence is 2, persuasion is 2, that's 4, and I'm healthy is 5. That's no successes, so I'm going to use my coffee card. So that's 1 success. And I'm going to use some drive. I really want this to work.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Do it, do it.
How much drive do I have? Where to go? Okay, I've got 6 drive. 1, 2. Okay, I've used 2 drive and I've got 3 successes. A king, a jack, and an ace.
Beautiful. Okay. I'm a little hurt, honestly. I don't love that he's keeping secrets from me. I guess that's the nature of the job, but like, anyway, he's in Stoneloft on some personal business.
Great, and how do I reach him?
I guess you could try contacting the post office in Stoneloft. It's personal business, so I don't think he really intends to be reached.
I have reason to believe he might. My daily check-in. Great, do you need anything? Is there anything I can do for you? If not...
Daily check-in?
Yeah, per Jack's recording, send a letter daily.
Oh, right.
You can also have a letter, too, if this doesn't...
No, this is fine.
Okay.
I've totally been reading those letters, 100%.
Uh-huh.
So, wait, so there is actually something else.
Yep.
I'm not supposed to just give this to anybody, but you're not just anyone. I mean, you're Agent Felspar. You're like a superhero. So, and I mean, he's close with... Is Vellum okay? Is Vellum with you?
Yeah. He's actually doing amazing.
Oh, great. Glad to hear that. Okay, so... We do actually have a radio frequency just for me and him to chat. Sometimes we do movie nights like that. You can try reaching him on that.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And if he seems upset about it, you stole it from my desk.
Absolutely.
All right. Good luck out there.
Thanks. Good luck back home.
Thanks. And he hangs up. Ela.
That's adorable, by the way, doing movie nights and talking on the radio with each other. Very cute. Mm-hmm.
Jack and Gregans are basically like a queer platonic relationship is the way I have decided that they kind of live their life.
And it's perfect.
You are also in a similar room. There's actually also a little in this room. It's empty except for a single poster. It's about like the importance of the post office. And it's got a little cat in a post office bag with like a messenger bag. And he's holding a letter.
No. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Vellum will try to contact Gray.
So you hear like a long tone for a while, which is standard. And then just before you would expect it would just cut off because it hasn't made contact with anyone, Gray answers and says, good morning. This is Gray Harrington.
Uncle, it's me.
Kellen. Yeah. Wow. How are you?
It's been an exciting adventure for sure. I will absolutely fill you in on all the details when we get home.
Good exciting, bad exciting?
A little bit of both.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're having fun out there, if that's what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been some intense feelings and situations, but I mean, it's been nice too. But I wanted to ask you a couple questions if you have the time.
Okay, yeah. I'm just enjoying a English muffin at the moment. I'm not really going anywhere. How can I help?
Do you know anyone named Max?
There's a long silence. And they say, a few people named Max. It's not an... Why do you ask?
You know why I'm asking.
Yes. yes, I have a child named Max Harrington. I assume that's why you're asking.
Yes, I was talking to someone in Clovenheart who mentioned running into an inventor named Max Harrington. And when I showed her the schematics that you gave me, she said that they looked surprisingly like the ones that they had shown them.
Yes. Max was doing some field research in Clovenheart.
Why didn't you tell me?
They say, for both of your benefits.
How old are they?
A little bit younger than you. I had less of a hand in raising Max than I did you. Carolyn?
I'm here. Sorry. I'm sure that there's a lot of good reasons, and it must be a complicated situation. I just wish that you told me instead of me finding out this way.
I wish that too. But let me tell you, I certainly didn't choose to raise you over my own child because I wanted to hurt you. And I wish I had told you sooner, but eventually it had become too long. I don't know. I didn't know how to say it. I didn't know how to talk about this. And there's a lot of pain involved, and I would love to have this conversation. I'm willing to have this conversation with you, but not like this.
Right, of course. Uncle?
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about Clovenheart?
What do I know about Clovenheart?
Yes.
It's a commune for altered people who don't wish to interact with the rest of society for whatever reason. And they're very secretive. Is there something you're looking for?
You know me, I'm always looking for something. I found a note.
Mm-hmm.
With the album that you sent.
Oh. What did it say?
What is Operation Clovenheart?
This is where you're going to have to flip presence persuasion.
Okay. Presence is 3. Persuasion is 2. 1 for healthy, 1 for eclectic. Do I get any bonuses for being Gray's very beloved nephew?
You have a coffee card.
This is true. We'll see how it goes. All right. Wow. Okay. I don't think I need to. That's 2 queens, a jack, an ace, and a king.
Holy fuck. Is that, what, 5 successes?
That's 5 successes.
Okay. I was going to say, what I can tell you over the radio is limited, but I'm going to tell you everything I can because you deserve to know.
Okay.
There is an artifact buried beneath Clovenheart called Providence. And with it, I believe I can return your parents to life, as well as fix other harms that needn't have happened.
I think at that, Vellum's, his whole body just kind of goes limp. He's just so taken aback by the idea that his parents could come back to life.
To reach Providence, I need your help. I need that radio tower.
Do you know what Providence does?
That's where we're going to have to meet up. I can't risk this being listened to.
Of course.
Do you want... I can be there. Wherever it is you are, you must not be in Clovenheart right now if you're calling me, and I can meet you wherever that is, and we can talk.
I'm in Cindershore right now.
I mean, that's an easy train ride.
We'll probably be here at least until tomorrow.
I can be there tomorrow.
Okay.
I love you, Callan.
I love you too, Uncle.
Whew. Okay. Essay. Is Spar going to try to reach Jack?
Yeah, he's going to try the main stone loft line first.
Okay. So, yeah, you hear a cheery voice on the other end that says, "Hello, you've reached Stone Loft's post office. I'm your operator, Joy. How can I help you?"
Hi, Joy. I'm trying to connect with somebody who might be visiting there, Jack Spade.
Oh, yeah, he did. He was here anyway. I saw him come through.
Did he leave a forwarding address of any kind?
No, I'm afraid not. Normally when he's in town, he stays with Gladia.
Would you be able to connect me to them?
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
Great, thank you.
And a few seconds later, you hear another voice, and you hear, "Hello, this is Gladia speaking."
"Hi, my name is Miriam Felspar. I work with Jack, and I'm trying to find him. Do you know where he is or where he might have gone?"
"Not really. I haven't talked to Jack in a couple of weeks."
"I was just talking to the Stone Loft post office, and they said that he had been there a couple of days ago. Is there someone else he might have met with or stayed with?"
If Jack came to Stoneloft and didn't speak with me, I would be a little offended, frankly.
I think he might have been there on business.
Even still,
it may have been something urgent or complicated.
I couldn't tell you who he would stay with. I don't know what you know, but Sanguinia, the druid who gave him sentience, is buried here.
Okay, thank you for that.
You're welcome. If you find out anything, could you have Jack contact me?
I will, yes.
Thank you.
And if you think of anything, I'm staying in Cindershore. They can get me a message.
Will do. Sounds like you're a dedicated agent if you're looking for your boss.
I do my best.
Or maybe one in want of a raise. I'm not sure.
If you wouldn't mind passing that along to him, too, I'd be much obliged.
And Z laughs. And yeah, that'll be the end of the phone call. Anything else?
I want to try that direct line Greggins gave me.
Okay. You hear a tone go on for about 45 seconds, and then it goes dead.
Okay.
Back to our sillier storyline. Kit.
All right.
You've knocked on this door.
I've knocked on this door. I am prepared to kind of slip my foot in, like, as soon as it starts to open.
Oh, amazing. Okay, you do that because the door does open. You see the briefest hint of a face look at you and then go to close the door, but you catch it with your foot.
Excuse me, I am very sorry to bother you, but I have received a very credible threat against Mixed Diamond's life, and I thought you should be informed.
So the door opens, and Diamond is standing there, half-dressed. Their hair is normally up and looks like almost fire-like. And right now it is down, a little messy. You see they are not alone in their room. There are two people in their bed. And they say, a credible threat against my life?
Yes, I whip out the business card. Sir Timby has personally indicated that he's issuing a challenge to kidnap you during the party tomorrow. And I wanted to make sure you were aware.
They scrutinize the card for a second. They're like, do you know who Sir Timby is? Is this...
Sadly, a local jewel thief that is apparently planning to trade carbon diamonds for more...
Fleshy diamonds.
No.
Still carbon, though humans are also
carbon. But still carbon. Yeah, it was a little late on that.
Not in Bicycle, actually. That's just a world fact. There's no... So anyway, they say, well, are you offering your services as a bodyguard, or are you just issuing a warning?
I do plan to be there to help, to do whatever I can. Do you have other security folks I can coordinate with?
There will be some at the event. Could you do some reconnaissance for me now?
Absolutely. What is the best way for me to reach you with any findings? It was a bit of a trip to get up here, and I would like to save everyone in the local constabulary a bit of a hassle next time.
They give you the phone number to their hotel room.
Do I have any way to detect that it's actually the phone number to their hotel room?
Flip intelligence streetwise to see if you, like, know if it's, like, you know, like the prefix number.
Yeah,
for
right.
This
it's
hotel.
Like a 555 or something.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Sure. So intelligence is 2, streetwise is 0. Mm-hmm. But I'm healthy, and we've got some drive. Sure. So that's 3 flips, 2, 3, 2 successes, a queen and an ace.
Nice. I was going to say that the the queer creeper is like a himbo because of the intelligence situation, but they're just kind of a little guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. They're just a little dude. That's very good. All right. Again, very good at creeping. It's just in a slightly unusual fashion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, it seems like a legit phone number.
All right. And it's so weird because I feel like Diamond ought to have a title. I want to be like, thank you,
Your Majesty.
Yeah, thank you, Your Sparkliness.
Do you say that?
Yeah.
Oh, they love that.
Thank you, Your Sparkliness. I will be out to examine the venue, and I will keep you apprised of what I find. Is there anyone I should be on the lookout for in particular? You don't have any other particular folks you're worried about, say, crashing this party?
You know, it's funny you should ask that.
Uh-huh.
For some reason, I don't know if you're familiar with suits. They're...
Oh, yes.
Pseudo-cops.
Government orgs. Gonna government. Yep.
Yeah. They have been erroneously up my ass recently. And I would appreciate if they weren't. On the off chance they do decide to show up at Cinder Shore, if you could keep them away from me, I would really appreciate that.
Absolutely. Absolutely understood. I'll do my best. Thank you for your patience. I will let you get back to your other morning activities.
Thank you so much. And they actually give you a kiss on the cheek and pat you on the shoulder.
Queer creeper blushes awkwardly, executes a very small bow, and steps back away from the door.
Which closes.
Three of Hearts is S.A. Monoktola as Agent Felspar and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Agent Vellum and our artist, Jordan Quiverns as our host, and special guest Kit Stubbs as the Queer Creeper. We play a game called Space Kings, which was created by Kevin Cole and Supertry Studios. You can find out more about that game at spacekings.space, where you can also purchase a digital version of the book. Go to book.spacekings.space to purchase a physical version. It's a great game. You won't regret it. Our intro music is Dogtective. Our special Queer Creeper Mitro theme is A Warm Welcome, and our outro is Ghost Plus Guest. All of these tracks are by Louis Zong, and they can be found at louiszong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/threeheartscast. Support us for any price you can afford and receive access to all perks, including gag reels, the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and short stories set in the world of our podcast. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks with a brand new episode.